All right. Oh, this is good. I can run. I can be out of the, you know. Well, he was asking me, how long do I need to preach? I don't know. And I told him, my sermon today is, in a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. So I always say, if you hear me preaching, don't close your eyes. Because probably the moment you open your eyes, I'm done. So don't close your eyes. Who knows? I'll be, how do you call that? I will be raptured. So I can tell you this. I have prepared an hour and a half sermon this morning. It's already 12 o'clock. And I can promise you we'll be done by 2 o'clock. How's that? Are you okay with that? Can we make a vote for that? I know you guys will be mad at me. But I believe with all my heart that because we belong to one family, no matter what I say here, no matter how long I will preach, you still love me, right?
Yes.
All right. Oh, I like that. Now I can stay for 2 o'clock, till 2 o'clock. I am grateful for the Chandler English family because of the fact that they had been a mother to Chandler Phelan. And they had been, the moment we were born as a church or as a group, as a company, Chandler English is always there for us. At this time, we are still building the church for Chandler Phelan by Fry Road. And when I talked to Pastor Shane, I said, Pastor, your daughter church needs some help from the mother church. And Sister Karen and the elder said, come on, guys, let's join our worship. And we are grateful for that. Anyway, in heaven, we belong to one family, the family of Christ, right? But at this time, because we are still here on earth, I want to talk to you about families who are hurting. How many of you here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm sorry, my family is perfect. How many of you here can say my families are doing okay? We don't fight, we don't argue. We are not hurting. You should change your title. If that is your thoughts and feelings today, you can go home. You know, and you can go eat early and sleep. But I believe that the reason why we are here, it is because all of us, I would say, belong to this what we call hurting families. I always say this, that when my father died in an early age, I was asking God, and I said, Lord, why my dad? He was so young. And I said, Lord, why not my neighbor's dad? He had been drinking a lot. And I was so hurt that time. Even so, when I went to school, and every time I would probably go to the finance department, because it will be like, I need to get the permit. And the treasurer would say, you cannot get or take the exam today because you have a lot. Your debt is as tall as heaven. And one day, this treasurer, he's in the Philippines. She said, I think, Glenn, you better go home and work. Because of this amount that you owed from the college, from the university, you should go home and work and pay. And I said, you know, ma'am, I think the Lord has sent me here to study. And she said, I know, but what about this? She was showing it to me. I said, don't worry about it, ma'am. Because before Christ will come in the second time, I can guarantee you I'll be able to pay mine. And she said, okay. And she would give me the permit. And I'm grateful for the treasure. That time I was suffering. And then all of a sudden, I have some losses in the family. I lost my grandmother. I lost my uncle, my aunties. And those are part of the suffering. Probably some of you here are hurting because of a loved one who just, you know, have gone in the wind. You don't know where are they now. Some of you here have just lost their children, their son and daughters. Some of you here just lost their job. You should be grateful today Because my dearly beloved, you are still here, you can still see me, you can still talk, and you have not lost your mind. So I praise the Lord for that. But at this time, I would like to let you know that the promise of God from the book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 5, is a concrete promise. It's a tangible promise for you and for me, telling us that someday there would be no more pain, no more suffering. And according to this, for the old world and its evil are gone forever. I like this. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." You know, I like new things, new stuff. Like new iPad, new iPhone, new computer, new clothes. But let me tell you this, I don't like new wife. I love my wife. I love her so much. So we like new things. In heaven he would say, everything will be new. And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." If you are here today and you are just depressed and you are suffering and you are hurting, and your friend or your loved one and even your neighbors or your mom and your dad just hurt you recently, I'm telling you this, there will come a time in this history of this earth that all things will be new. And this, what we call evil things, will be gone forever. From the very beginning, if you open your Bibles from the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. You see, the Lord had not planned that we'll all be suffering. Exodus 3, chapter verse 7 and 8 said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." Okay? I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. You see the word, "I'm concerned about their suffering." This, we are talking about the people of God when they were trying to be saved, you know, from Egypt to the land of promise. Verse 8, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." I like this version. I don't know what kind of version you are using right now. The word is a good and a spacious land. You know, all of us are concerned about space, right? Give me some space, you know. We don't like to be crowded like... That's why we like big houses, huge houses, big cars, right? But anyway, this is a place that I'm dreaming and I'm praying that I'll be there. From the very beginning, also at the same time, you know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 14 to 16, people sometimes question God. And they would say, if God is concerned in my suffering, if He's really concerned that I lost my loved one, that I lost my job, He could have just come down and rescued me right now. Isaiah 49, 14 to 16. "Yet they say, 'My Lord deserted us. He has forgotten us.'" This was the time when the Israelites were in bondage, in. But verse 15 said, "Never, never can a mother forget her little child." Isaiah 49, verse 14 to 16. "Can a mother forget her child and not have love for her own son? Yet even if that should be, I will not forget you." God will not forget us. See, I like the version in my Bible. What is your version? What is your word that I have blank? Huh? Engraved. What's the other version? Inscribe. I like this. This is for the youth, for the young people today. But I'm not encouraging you to do this, okay? I have tattooed you. You know, I've seen that. I was asking my friend last week, and I said, "Why are you guys doing the tattoo? Tattoo, right?" And they said, "Because I love this person. And this guy over here, sticking out with a little nose, he's the love of my life." "And what about that one?" And he said, "Oh, this is my daughter. She has that tattooed, the three of them in here, in her body." When I was reading this, I said, the Lord had tattooed our name on the palm of His hand. And if you read this, I have tattooed your name upon the palm, and ever before me is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. You see, the emotions of Christ when he was doing, when he is remembering your name and putting or describing your name in the palm of his hand. In front of him is the Jerusalem in ruin. Yet, God is concerned in remembering you on the palm of his hand. You know, I know that God is interested in our pain. That's my belief. And I know probably all of you are doing the same. So this morning, I would like to really talk to you more about pain and suffering. So kindly open your Bibles with me from the book of Luke chapter 8. In the book of Luke chapter 8, we'll start from verse 40. There are two individuals or families that were probably would say recorded in that chapter. Luke chapter 8 verse 40. These accounts open with Jesus returning in the town of Capernaum. Okay? And he was being met by the crowd, and there were some people who were really wanting to see him. Most of them are sick, most of them, and some of them are just curious to see him. But anyway, there are some, and in verse 40, it was mentioned then that out of the crowd was a man, and his name was what? Luke chapter 8, verse 40 and 41. What's the name of the man? Jairus. Okay? And he has his only daughter. And according to record of Luke chapter 8, his daughter was 12 years old and he was dying that time. Okay? I'm not going to read all of those texts. And he was trying to push himself, you know, trying to ask for some help. And this guy, and according to the description, he was a respected man. He was a religious man. And many people would have looked up to him. Yet, my dearly beloved, he was hurting at the time. Hurt and pain does not respect position or you know, status in life. Even though you are rich, even though you have a lot of money in the bank, you have a beautiful car, chances are you will be hurt and you will be in pain. The reason is that because if you go down after this, is the story of this lady who had been bleeding for how many years? 12 years. You know, I was thinking about this passage last night and even this morning. I said, 12 years old, you know, according to the record, the girl is 12 years old and the lady had been bleeding for 12 years. And I said, 12 years, 12 years. And I only realized that this message is really for the people of God. 12 disciples, you know, people of God. And because of this, probably some of you have been in this kind of situation where you have been trying to ask some help for your son, for your daughter. And you have been asking God to please save my son, save my daughter. And because of the fact that your son and your daughter is really dying, you know, if you belong to this respected social status like this man, Jairus, you would probably say, oh, I can go to the doctor, I can go. But according to the Bible, the description, nobody. He is really dying. And not only that, when he tried to press and to see Jesus, okay? When Christ was about to go to his house, there is another hurting person in the person of that lady. You know, Christ was about to go to his house and was about to heal and, you know, resurrect probably or heal his daughter. But one of the official of Jericho said, "Sir, don't worry about, you know, I don't think it's too late. It's too late." Well, what happened according to the story? Your daughter is dead. You see, probably we will blame the lady who has been, you know, because according to the story, when he was trying to walk to the place where he has to go, to Jairus' place, somebody touched his what? Hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And he said, "Because I know that because of the power that was released from me." That's the last part of my supposedly PowerPoint. But anyway, Jesus Christ felt that there was something wrong. And according to the Bible, if you read your Bible, chapter 8 again, verse 40, going down 45. The Bible said, this lady was trying to interrupt what he was Christ supposed to do with this family of Jairus. You know, sometimes when you are trying to ask God to do something, and he's not doing the thing that you would like us things to do, like, "Lord, I want these things to happen. Please heal my son, heal my daughter," and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, there will be some interruption. But at this time, remember that God is God, and Jesus is Christ, and Jesus is God. He knows what he is doing. He knows what he is going to do. And according to the story, I'm summarizing it. He went to see, okay, first, the lady who had been bleeding for 12 years. And he did some intervention. And he said, "You know, you're fine. You will be healed." And she's okay. And now, he went to Jairus' house and he said, "Don't worry, your daughter is not dead, he's just sleeping." And then he went to his house and we all know what happened, right? He was able to resurrect Jairus' daughter and he went back to life. Now, the contrast between Jairus and this woman is very interesting. Okay, number one. One was prominent and the other was anonymous. Jairus was prominent. One was deeply religious and the other's condition kept her from worship. You know, if you had been bleeding for 12 years, if you have a case like with this lady, according to the record, according to history, you are isolated. Nobody wants to touch you. Nobody wants to talk to you. And you are always feeling depressed. Yet, Christ was able to recognize her. And he said, "Who touched me?" Sometimes we are not too sensitive to other people's situations or cases like this lady. We are always focused on what we can get and what we can do. And what other people can do for us. I have learned something from these two stories. And I would like you to read those stories by yourself. Number one, let me talk to you about the story about this lady. Why is it that when Christ, you know, felt that something is happening in him. When Christ spoke to the daughter, he said, "Daughter, I think you are the one who touched me." And I know, she was so embarrassed. But why did Jesus expose her? I'm sure that he knew what had happened. But why did he have to make it public? Number one, Christ wanted to establish a relationship with this lady. When he would heal you, he would like to establish a relationship with you. When he will provide healings for you. Number two, he wanted her faith to be in person. Not only on the system of healing, but in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who really heals. And number three, he wanted everyone to know that she had been physically healed. That's why he exposed this lady who had been isolated for 12 years. Now I have recorded, in my account, I have probably 8 lessons that I've learned from this story. And I'm going to give it to you one by one. Probably one will spend about 20 minutes, 8 times 2. that's still about 2 o'clock, that's okay. You know, number one that I've learned from this story. Number one, Jesus is concerned about my pain. And every time I will be hurt. No matter how crowded you are in your situation right now, He is concerned in your pain and in your when you are hurting. It is not the way He meant it, but you know, He wants to bring us into healing. Number two, don't let others dissuade you from approaching Jesus for help. Just go and reach the hem of His garment. Just go and ask through prayer. Some of us here, if not all, are probably sick for a long time. And he would say, Pastor, I have been taking drugs for this for a long time, but and not, God is not healing me. Have faith and continue touching the hem of His garment. Number three, Jesus is concerned about our minor hurts just as much as our major hurts. You see, when he was about to resurrect this girl, this lady came along. And at the crowd, he was able to feel that somebody touched him. Number four, Jesus wants a relationship with us. You know, when we say healing, we are talking about, you know, do you know that death is also a form of healing? I think we can just turn this off because I'm getting confused. You know, do you know that death is just a form of healing? I work in the hospital sometimes. I'm a chaplain at Phoenix Children's Hospital. And when we pray for, Lord, please heal my son, heal my daughter, heal my dad, my mother. And the family would say, Chaplain, what happened? My son passed away. I thought God is going to heal him. You know, it's really hurt. It's not that easy. But according to my experience in my studies, and even in the Bible, that death is also a form of healing. So that is why when we ask for complete healing, too often we seek physical healing, but forget emotional and spiritual healing. Jesus wants to offer a complete, a holistic healing. We may not be able to get healed physically, but after all, we are healed spiritually. That is why I'm saying death is a form of healing. When my father passed, my father passed away at an early age, I was asking God, I was questioning him. And I said, Lord, why didn't you heal my dad, my father? I only realized the less, you know, that was a form of healing for him. Because first, he had been drinking a lot. And probably the Lord said, okay, because you had been drinking a lot, okay, I will heal you. Before he died, before he passed away, he was singing the song, Higher Ground. And he was really probably, you know, and he said, Lord, please forgive me. He was about, I think, 49 years old at the time. And he said, Lord, I have sinned against my family. Please forgive me. And he was healed that time by the Lord when he passed away. Sometimes we question God, but never give up on God. That's the number seven. Just trust Him. When we think it's too late to act, God can still work miracles and bring some good from terrible situations. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about, you know. All you have to do is to trust the Lord that He will provide healing, complete healing for you and for me. And lastly, my dearly beloved, our ultimate hope is heaven, where He will remove all our sorrows and there will be no more death or sorrows or crying or pain. You know, if you work for the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors, the pain and suffering is always there. Just the other week, I had a call. I was paced in the hospital, and I was in the middle of something. And I said, who's this nurse or doctor paging me? And there was, a parent. And she said, Chaplain, please come to us, to the hospital. My daughter, who's 11 years old, is really dying right now. And I don't know what's going to happen. The doctors, the social workers are going to come to pull out the life support. But I still believe that God will be able to do something for this. And I said, I'm about like 45 minutes away from the hospital. You know what did she said? Pastor, chaplain, if you can just pray for me over the phone or on the phone, I believe with all my heart that God can still do and perform miracle. That time I was in a wedding. And I prayed over the phone. And I can hear her. She said, yes, Lord, I believe. Praise Lord, yes, Lord. You know, to make the longer story long, the long story longer or shorter, I thought the girl passed away. And after probably 5 days, there were two ladies who went to the conference and asking for help for money, for gas. And they said, you know, we're going home to some place and we have this, when we run out of gas, we need some money. Now, it so happened that I was passing to the information and said, oh, okay. And I asked, you said you have a patient here in Phoenix? And they said, yes. She is in Phoenix Children's Hospital. So, you know, I was connected to Phoenix Children's Hospital. And I said, who's your patient there? What's the name of the patient? And she mentioned the name of the patient. And so I said, I know this is the patient that I'm talking to you. The baby, the girl, 11-year-old. And I said, so her mom's name is this? She said, yeah, how do you know? How do you know them? And I said, because I prayed for them over the phone. And I thought she's gone. And you know what she said? She said, she came back. She made a turnaround. I think she's still alive. I don't know what happened. But anyway, and we gave her something, you know, for to eat. And my good friend Kingsley passed by too. And we gave them for gas and sent them going back home. My point is that never give up on God. Sometimes we, you know. That's why I said, in a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. Even though you're just touching the hem of his garment, don't lose hope. God can still perform miracle. And at the end of the day, even at the end of your life, you will be able to say, praise the Lord. God is very good. My question to you this morning is this. Are you hurting today? Is your family hurting? You know, my family, they're also hurting. If I'm going to tell you my story, it will take me about 4 hours again. My families are hurting right now. And probably your family is hurting right now. They're in pain. My mom is sick when I went home last May. And I told her, you know, mom, I'm going to go home and go back to the U.S. And she said something like this. She said, you know, Glenn, I hope that I will be able to see you again. Because she was so pale, she was so sick. And I said, Lord, please take good care of my mom. She is in pain and she is suffering right now. But our memory text this morning gives me the hope and at the same time a healing. I'm hurting. You know, I'm hurting right now. But I have the hope and God can give me the healing. Every time I would read the scripture from Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 5. And to conclude my sermon today, I want to read this again. Look, the home of God, or the tabernacle of God, is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows, and there will be no more death, or sorrows, or crying, or pain. For the old world and its evils are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.